In this episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast, we're talking about hallucinogenic therapy.
Yes.
This is part two. If you've not listened to part one, you can jump back an episode or just catch up after we're done with this one because it all goes together anyway. So, but to get all the information you want, make sure you listen to both episodes. So yeah, we're going to finish up. I'm going to tell you, last episode was kind of an intro to it, what it is, what it does. We're going to tell you as far as results and studies, what the science is showing.
Okay.
And also where to go if you're interested in this.
All right.
And as usual, we're giving away free stuff. Hang in there, folks. We'll be right back.
Get ready for the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright, originating from the suburbs of Detroit, Michigan. He has hypnotized thousands of people from all over the United States. David R. Wright has been featured on news outlets all across the country and is the clinical director of an outpatient mental health and hypnosis clinic located just south of Detroit, where he helps people daily using the power of hypnosis. Welcome, the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright.
What is happening, my friends? This is David Wright, the Motor City Hypnotist, and we're back with another episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast.
Yeah.
That is Matt Fox, the other voice you hear.
Yeah,
thanks for joining us, Matt.
I'm just in the background.
You're there. You're part of the show, man. You're not getting out of it now.
Oh, fair enough.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, you're not just sitting in the background, man.
Like this in the background. What the fuck is it with you?
So much. So much. No, this these topics that you have brought to the table today are, you know, very, very interesting because, you know, it's kind of close to my previous life, you know, and, you know, I don't want to get into that in any way, shape or form, but, you know, I kind of understand where some of these, you know, some of the things you're talking about, you know, mm-hmm. I get it. Mm-hmm. I do understand it. So,
right.
But I'm interested in learning a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to get into that. Let me tell you where you can find me, folks. First, website is motorcityhypnotist.com. Go to the website to book your show. Prom grad season is upon us in a couple of months. It's going to be crazy. And if you want to book your show, my dates are filling quick. So go to the website, click on shows. You can fill out a form online, have a quote within a couple of minutes, and you can book it directly. Do it now. Cause like I said, schedule's filling up quick. Find me on social media. Facebook and YouTube are both Motor City Hypnotist. And Snapchat and Instagram are both Motor City Hypno. That is HYPNO. And as usual, free hypnosis guide is always available. Text the word hypnosis to 313-800-8510. Again, that's 313-800-8510. If you need to look the number up later, just either go to my website and the number's right there or check out the show notes.
Yep.
It will be there. The most important thing, wherever you're listening, whatever platform you're on, whether it be, you know, iTunes or Spotify or Stitcher or wherever, subscribe to the show, one, so you'll get it when it drops. And then the other thing is please leave a review. Mm-hmm. That is helpful. That helps more than almost anything because people will see it and then other people want to listen. So that would be fantastic.
That works.
All righty. It is time.
Here we go.
So this story is about the U.S. Coast Guard rescuing a dog.
Okay.
Another animal story, which we love.
But it's a twist.
It is. There's a little twist. So a dog was rescued in Texas on Wednesday after members of the U.S. Coast Guard discovered the pup trapped inside a shipping container.
Okay.
Officials said. Members of a Coast Guard inspection team were randomly selecting containers from among thousands at the Port of Houston when they suddenly heard barking and scratching from inside one of the containers stacked about 25 feet in the air.
Help me!
With a little behind it.
No! No! Don't shut me up!
When they lowered the container and opened the door, out popped a very happy dog, officials said.
Sound like this?
Yeah.
Man.
This sweet girl was trapped in the container for at least a week.
A week?
And was tired, hungry, and very happy to see her rescuers, the Coast Guard said.
What was in the container the dog was able to stay alive?
Well, that's a good question. The pup, since nicknamed Connie the Container Dog.
With the K?
What kind of stupid wiener name is that?
Connie the Container Dog.
Connie the Container Dog.
That's original.
Clean out your desk. You're gone.
Yeah. Had gotten stuck inside a container full of totaled cars originating from Houston Galveston area that was about to be shipped overseas, according to the Coast Guard. Officials said it was not immediately clear where the container was being shipped. So it was wrecked cars. That was what was in the container.
I have questions.
Yeah. So based on that, here we go. This may answer your questions, Matt. All so right. Based on that, they think that the dog most likely was in a junkyard in a car. That's how she accidentally got put into the container.
Okay.
Guard spokeswoman, Chief Petty Officer Corrine Zelnicki told the AP Press, Associated Press.
Okay.
After giving Connie some water, the Coast Guard team brought the lucky pup to an animal shelter. As of Sunday, Connie was in the care of Forever Changed Animal Rescue, where she was being treated for heartworm and awaiting adoption, according to the shelter.
So, okay.
We will also be doing a full workup on her to ensure that she receives all the care she needs and deserves, the group said on its Facebook page. Do you want to see Connie the Container Dog?
I see the picture from across the table.
Look at that.
All right. Connie looks intelligent. Connie also doesn't look smart at the same time. But I give Connie credit. Connie the Container Dog, I'll give Connie some credit because they were able to survive a week with no food.
With no food and no water. That's amazing to me.
I'm really curious. You know, but yes. If they were on a ship. Right.
Yeah.
Probably out at sea.
Possibly.
And
or maybe hadn't left yet is kind of what I'm thinking.
OK. Maybe it had rained. So maybe a little bit of water got
that,
in there.
That could be.
I'm just trying to make a case for Connie.
For the survival. Yes. Well, I mean, she is alive.
Yes.
And if those of you wanting to see Connie, the Container Dog.
Uh-huh.
Does anybody want to see that?
What kind of stupid wiener name is that?
There you go.
There's look at that. Oh, we're stuck in a container.
My name's not really Connie.
I'm hungry.
What are you people? On dope?
So anyway, it's a good story.
Yes,
Connie the Container Dog was found. I'm just trying not to think the worst case scenario that this ship gets out to sea and she's dead.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I mean, she lasted a week. I'm sure that's even pushing it.
For a shipping container to sit on the docks for a week, I'm not surprised.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that could be, but look, I mean, just look at that face, like,
oh, here I am.
What? So, to the
U.S. Coast Guard,
U.S. Coast Guard, and Connie the Container Dog, definitely winners of the week.
That's how winning is done.
Yes, it is.
So, back to it.
I'm just, you know, there's a place in downtown Detroit.
Yeah,
called the Detroit Shipping Company.
I know. We used to podcast down there,
and it's 32 shipping containers all fused together for a great big space to hang out, and
right.
Bar, and what have you. I can only imagine if one of those shipping containers, it wasn't, but you know, where did Connie leave her mark?
Well,
autograph a wall or pee on a wall.
Well, maybe. But again, if she wasn't eating or drinking, maybe she didn't have to, you know.
I just, that's where my brain went, the shipping container to the Detroit Shipping Company. So here we are.
You know, I, to be honest, man, I love going downtown for the podcast when we were down there.
So did I.
This is a nicer studio though.
Oh,
by far.
More room, but the shipping container, the Detroit Shipping Company.
The location was fantastic.
It was fun. There was always people watching, people walking by.
And they had the Bangkok 96 was downstairs, I missed that place.
I missed that place tremendously.
I go out to the main one out in Dearborn,
The candied beef. And their pho, so good.
The
shrimp tempura.
No. The
sticky beef.
No.
Keep going.
What's a Thai main course? A pad Thai. The pad thai roll.
Oh, the pad Thai roll.
Pad Thai rolls were fantastic. Anyway, so anyway, okay, folks, we're talking about
speaking of hallucinogens
therapy with hallucinogens, specifically ketamine. That's the one we're focusing on. So that's kind of the one they use for psychiatric interventions.
I think that was their secret ingredient.
So we had talked last episode, and again, if you've not listened to that one, jump back one. We talked about what is ketamine, when, how long has it been around, things that they can use it for, and the delivery system,
okay,
which is IV, shots, nasal spray, or lozenges.
And the nasal spray is the only one that's been FDA approved.
And the nasal spray is the only one that's FDA approved.
And I said it last episode, your insurance might cover that.
Maybe. And we're going to get into that. I'll give you more information on insurance in a few moments.
I want to make sure we cover that.
So let's talk about what the research says, because people would be like, well, how is this effective? Does it work? Is it worth trying? I mean, especially if people have tried, maybe they've tried antidepressants, or maybe they don't want to take antidepressants. Because I have a lot of clients that I see that are depressed. And oftentimes I'll say, I don't want to take medication. I don't want to take an antidepressant.
There's nothing wrong with
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I totally respect that choice. And I understand. Yes. And I always tell clients this. I always say medication is a last resort. Mm-hmm. It's not a solution or a first resort.
Perfect.
I think you try everything before you go to medication. Now, again, some people need medication. That's why it exists.
Right.
That's why we have a psychiatrist on staff. But especially in the way we do it in our facility, our clinic, is that if you come in as a client and you're depressed or you're anxious, oftentimes we will make a referral to our psychiatrist. But we always say you have to have at least 3 or 4 sessions with a therapist before we refer you to the doctor for medication.
That's because
when we want to make sure that it's something that's necessary. And it is sometimes it's not. But I always say it's best if you don't have to take medication, because then you don't have to deal with the long-term issues that could arise with long-term antidepressant use.
Right.
And I understand people not wanting to do that if they don't have to.
Okay.
So let's talk about the studies as far as using ketamine for depression.
Okay.
So in a 2019 study, men with severe depression who received 6 ketamine injections over 2 weeks experienced a significant improvement in their depression. This effect set in just 1 hour after their first dose and lasted as long as 1 month after their last dose.
Okay.
So let's say injections over 2 weeks. So you're talking about a month and a half of being quote unquote symptom free of depression.
Okay.
Which is a good sign. Another study in 2020, participants received either 6 ketamine infusions or placebo infusions, followed by 1 ketamine infusion over a 12-day period. So
it seems like
one group got 6 ketamine infusions, one group got 5 placebos and just 1 infusion.
Okay.
That makes sense. Those who received only ketamine doses experienced greater improvements in their depression as opposed to the placebo group. However, when the placebo group received their 1 dose of ketamine, they reported already feeling improvement.
When did they get that? You know, that second group, the placebo group, when
it was
did that,
the last,
was it the last?
Yes, it was the last. Okay. The last dosage. Yes.
Okay. Number 6.
5 were placebos. The last dosage was ketamine.
Got it.
Yeah. In a 2022 study, people with depression and thoughts of suicide received 6 IV ketamine infusions at 3 separate clinics over 21 days. Within 6 weeks of starting the treatment, 20% of the people with depression were considered in remission.
In remission,
meaning their depression symptoms had greatly improved, and 50% of the people who had thoughts of suicide no longer experienced those thoughts.
So instead of saying greatly improved, how about greatly diminished?
That makes sense. The symptoms were greatly diminished.
Okay.
That would make sense.
All right.
Sure. So there's a lot of self-hatred in therapy. Let's say that. People have low self-images, like nobody cares about me, or I'll never succeed, or I'm not good enough, or there's something wrong with me. All those things go into it.
Okay.
So regarding those types of conditions, and a small study in 2022, again, people with treatment-resistant depression who received 3 IV ketamine infusions in 1 week found it easier to replace negative beliefs with more optimistic ones. Updating these beliefs helped improve depression symptoms, according to the study's authors. Now, while these results show promise, and it's just been recently, like I said, 2022, there was one in 2019. Again, they're saying more studies need to be done to find out long-term and ideal dosages that would help people depending on where they're at.
10 milligrams.
Yeah. And I have no idea what the
dosages
are as far as, you know,
the injections.
So people, and a lot of times we talked about antidepressants, a lot of people don't want to take them because of side effects. Mm-hmm. Now, ketamine can also have some side effects. A 2021 study listed the most common side effects.
What are they?
Nausea.
Okay.
Dizziness. Mm-hmm. Headaches. Mm-hmm. Disassociation.
Disassociation.
Which means feeling disconnected from your body and your thoughts because you're taking a hallucinogen.
Hallucinogen.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Vertigo. Drowsiness. Altered sense of taste. Altered sense of taste. And this last one sounds serious, and it is psychosis.
Psychosis meaning?
Which may include hallucinations and delusions.
Okay. Those rose-colored glasses. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Now, that's not surprising to me because we are talking about hallucinogens here. So it is going to change your perception while you're on your trip.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
I go back to this television show. I wish they would reboot it in some way, shape, or form, but Fringe.
Yeah.
You ever watch Fringe?
You know what? Here, that's one of the shows, man. I started and I got a season in and I just lost.
You got to stick
with
it.
But I know I do because I know it's a huge show and it's great.
Dr. Bishop, man. That man is a self-medicating hero.
So in rare cases, let's talk about the very rare side effects, but I want to bring those up just so people know. Panic attacks.
Yes.
Mania. Uh-huh. Ataxia, which is poor muscle coordination. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Go back to mania. Mania meaning your brain just will not settle down. You end up
mania meaning you're just in this heightened sense of engagement all the time.
Right.
Yes.
You just won't shut down.
Right. I'm going to try to pronounce akathisia, which is difficulty sitting still.
Oh, I have akathisia.
Thoughts of self-harm or otoscopy, which is out-of-body experiences. So again, a lot of things are, you can probably expect some of these things when you're doing a hallucinogen. Another study done by the organization Evidence suggests that ketamine could worsen depression in some people.
Okay, because it's not perfect for everybody.
Which I would say that about any medication. Yeah. It's not perfect for everybody. So that leads to my next question. The next question in this article is ketamine right for everyone?
It's okay.
So one of the major side effects or one of the effects of ketamine is that it can raise blood pressure.
Okay.
So if you're hypertensive, it's probably not recommended for you to try. Also, if you or your family has a history of any psychotic behavior, it's probably best that you don't go to ketamine for treatment. Okay. Also, you want to consult with your physician before doing any kind of trial with ketamine or any medication to make sure that physically you're safe to do that.
Sure.
Because one of the things they want to make sure is that people with heart disease, any type of cranial pressure for any kind of brain issue.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Or any history of heavy substance abuse.
Right.
So those are the things that you want to just check with your doctor first.
I built up a great immunity in my early 20s.
So you say you think maybe this is something you want to look into and try.
Okay.
Okay. So talk with your primary care physician. If they're unable to direct you, talk to a mental health professional.
As a referral, right?
Yes, this who can direct you. So there are a couple of places in Detroit, and I will put the links of those in the show notes. There's one in Birmingham. There's another one in, I believe, Novi. And they are freestanding clinics that specialize. They just do ketamine therapy.
Huh.
And the way it works, now here's the thing, and I want you to be careful about this. This is one of the big warnings that I've hear, is that you can't just go to anyone. Make sure that the place you're going has mental health staff there during the treatments.
Okay.
That's the important thing. Because a lot of places will or have, according to my reading, they may give you lozenges to take home or a nasal spray to take home and use on your own.
Really?
I don't recommend that because you don't have any supervision and you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
Especially if you're alone. So, so do some research. Make sure it is a... It's somebody who's not just giving you the drug and running away.
Right.
And when I say drug, I'm talking ketamine. Right. It's important that you're monitored during when you're getting the ketamine and also afterwards to make sure. And the way this is done is in a therapy setting is that you have a psychiatrist who's prescribing it and administering it, or a nurse administering it. And then you have mental health professionals there to monitor you and also to debrief after, because that's kind of the whole thing is it's not just taking the ketamine. It's processing the therapy afterwards.
Right. And how long is that process? If you were to go in for a treatment, let's call it, you go in and you have the proper staff there. How long are you there for? I wonder.
What I've read, and this can vary, but if it's an IV thing, you're probably need to plan on being at the place for a few hours because you're going to get the ketamine. You're going to be in your happy world. And then you have to wait till it wears off before you can go home and they can evaluate and talk to you about
bring a driver.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. You're not driving home. So I'm going to give you some criteria for picking places. One, make sure it's been open for more than a couple of years.
Okay.
Because again, this is, I don't want to say it's a fad, but in a way it is. It's just becoming more popular because people are looking for alternatives to typical psychiatric medicine.
I wouldn't say, I'd say more sought out.
Right.
Because it is starting to show.
We're starting to get some history showing results, which is a good thing.
Okay.
Make sure that the place you go to has board certified physicians with mental health experience on staff.
Not just a piece of paper with crayon writing on it.
Make sure that this clinic that you're going to also offers mental health support services, such as individual and group therapy, because that's part of this process.
Right.
Is not just taking the ketamine, but then processing afterwards.
You don't, if you walk into a place and there's a poster on the wall with a cat hanging from a string saying, hang in there, turn your ass around and walk out.
I ain't listening to you no more.
You're right. And I would say do a couple of consultations to find somebody that you're comfortable with and to make sure that it is
absolutely,
somebody you want to work with.
Absolutely fair.
Okay. So right now, as I mentioned, the nasal spray is the only FDA-approved medication.
Okay, so we're going to get to my question. Okay.
Insurance companies, most of the time, will not cover any other forms of ketamine therapy except for nasal spray.
Okay.
All right? Although, if there's somebody with severe depression who has a history of treatments like therapy and antidepressant medication, or maybe even hospitalizations... Mm-hmm. It is possible your insurance company could approve it based on your history of the other things not working.
Okay.
So consult with your own insurance company. But in most cases, this will not be covered.
Okay.
So if you're doing the nasal spray, which is the only FDA approved one, hold on to your hats right now.
Okay.
A 1 month treatment may be as high as $6,800.
All right. Tighten up that budget.
Yep. That's getting treatment twice a week. So 2, 4, 6, 8 treatments are right around $7,000.
That's wild.
Yeah. Now, again, some insurance programs may offer some support, again, depending on documentation and kind of what you're looking at as far as, you know, again, history means everything because we know, and I deal with insurance companies every day, which I hate. That is insurance companies do not want to pay for anything.
No,
that's just they're there because they have to be, and they want it. They don't want to pay for anything unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. But if you can prove to them that, hey, listen, I've been hospitalized, I've taken 5 different types of antidepressants, mm-hmm. Whatever you've done in your history, and you're still not right, you're still not better, then at least you can justify mm-hmm. to say, I've tried all these other things. I need something. I need an alternative source of treatment.
I'm not rolling my eyes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, $7,000 a month, you know, a lot of folks that are in that depressive state that need it.
Yes. Don't have it. Well, can't afford it. You know what, Matt, this is my personal, I don't know, soapbox, but uh-huh. it is crazy right now. How many of our clients, they come to see me, they need therapy. Mm-hmm. They want therapy. And they're, especially now, it's the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. All these people are paying deductibles right now.
Yep.
Some people, $10,000 deductible.
Yep.
And it's like,
should have gone.
It is no wonder that, and they keep talking about mental health access being an issue. Mm-hmm. The issue is that people don't have the money for it.
Right.
That's the problem.
They should have gone with that PPO instead of that HMO.
Well, I mean, even with that, it's just such a hassle and billing and people getting charged and co-pays and deductibles.
That's
and
why
it's still so much money. It is. And it, for most people, therapy is not easy to get.
No.
Financially.
No.
For most people, it's not. And unfortunately, that's something our government has failed to produce on as far as healthcare.
But but there are organizations, and I know I've talked about it before, there are organizations that help you with those free services.
Right.
You know, you have your Easter Seals Mork of the world. Right.
Right. And a lot of the community care places might have either some flexed down pricing mm-hmm. or free services. So that's something you want to look for. But as far as the ketamine goes, it is fairly expensive. Now, I can say that if you were to go in general, and again, details will be different based on where you go and your physician and who prescribes it and how it's working. But for the most part, most of the studies show that people would receive ketamine treatment for a month and be fine years after.
I believe that just based on the studies that have already been done with the placebo group.
So I guess it's better to look at it and say, okay, do I want to pay $7,000 and know that I'm going to feel better for the next 5 years?
But would you know right then and there?
Well, you would. Well, see, that's the risk though. It's like anything else. Uh-huh. There's possibility and nobody can say for sure. However, studies have shown that this can be an effective treatment. And again, that's why I want people to do their, I'm not recommending this. And I'm not saying go do this. It's the best thing out there.
No, it's just information.
But
yeah.
It's definitely information you want to look into, especially again, if you're resistant to taking antidepressants or you want something that's a quicker acting, or you've just tried everything and you're still not where you want to be. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This could be a good alternative. Let me tell you, one single IV infusion can cost about $400.
Okay, that's a little bit easier to swallow.
So let's say that you say, okay, I want to pursue this or I want to look into this, and you talk to whatever facility you go to and say, hey, I can only afford, you know, in a month, I can only afford $400. So mm-hmm. they may do an infusion now and do another one in 30 days.
The infusions, you know, there are a lot of infusions you can get out there, mm-hmm. right? And they will cost a couple $100 up to whatever. But those infusions right into your bloodstream, you know, if they get the concoction right, it can work.
Yes.
I've seen it firsthand. It can work.
And I do believe that this is kind of a novel approach, because a lot of people will say, well, why would you take a drug?
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. But
why would you take a hallucinogen?
Right.
Right.
Well, and I think, and I'm just going to answer from my own opinion, is that it just alters the way you think, even mm-hmm. for that hour that you're receiving treatment.
You're changing your brain chemistry.
And for somebody who's depressed, that's kind of what we want to do.
Right.
We want to change that chemistry so that it's working more typically.
Mm-hmm. But you know, there are ways to do that without having to take drugs.
Yeah. You know? No, absolutely.
So it's you know half a dozen of one, half a dozen of the other, right?
I'm kind of excited about this only because, like I said, it's kind of in its infancy, and it's probably going to grow, and we're going to have more information as far as how to say, in order to gauge effectiveness, right, and whether long term is this a good solution.
You know, and the cost of it. You know, I'll use the analogy of, you know, how much was your first big screen TV?
Oh, geez.
Right?
Thousands of dollars.
Right. And today?
Yeah, $500.
Right. So yeah, as the technology gets better and the studies get better, the cost will come down. Right. But, you know.
And I believe that at some point, if the FDA approves use of these other, such as injections and IV, mm-hmm, then you Lossages. Can get into some insurance possibly covering some of that.
That's fair.
So there's a lot of potential going forward.
Yeah.
So I would say if you've suffered with depression or OCD or PTSD or anger issues, think things that you've struggled with and things haven't worked, this might be a good option for you. So I would say do your research, check out my notes as far as the show notes goes. And I can I will add to this, a couple of the ones here in Michigan that you can talk to and have a consultation with.
All right.
I say that's the best way to do it. Have a consultation. If you don't feel like it's a fit for you, don't do it. If you feel like it might be something that could help, I'd love to hear from you. That, mm-hmm, that's the big thing. If somebody out there has done this, has received ketamine therapy or is considering it, reach out to me because I really want to talk to some people who've experienced this. Sure. Because I would love to have another thing to recommend to my clients as far as options go. Mm-hmm. That you don't have to stay in that depressed suicidal state. There are things that we can do to get you out of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yeah, please reach out and let me know because I would love to touch base with you, even have a discussion. That would be fantastic.
All right,
folks, that is ketamine therapy. Huh. Before we go,
here we go.
Somebody needs a home.
Who's that?
Haven. He's a Great Dane. He was born in 2018.
All right.
He's so about 5 years old or so.
Yeah.
He's a spayed female. She's a spayed female, 115 pounds.
That's a big dog. Yeah. It's a horse.
Dog friendly, kid friendly, over 8.
Speaking of ketamine.
And there's Haven. Look at that.
Look at that face.
I know.
Aw.
It's a big dog.
It is she's a big pup.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
But yeah,
but you know, she's 115. She's 5 years old, so she's not getting any. Well, she might get fatter, but
kids over
not bigger.
Yeah, kids over 8.
Okay,
yeah, kid friendly. Yep. Yes, and then the cat friendly persuasion unknown. Is unknown.
Yeah, you never know until you throw a cat at him. You know, if the cat latches onto his eyeball, then you know probably not cat friendly. Well, the cat's not friendly. That's the problem. Dogs are always friendly. It's the cats who are not.
We had the most significant thing happen this past weekend.
Yeah.
My kitty cat, Honey Pot, she's never been a dog lover, but the dog that is now her best friend, we call him Garfield and Odie.
Oh, okay. Honestly. Okay.
But I gave the dog, you know, I filled up his water dish and then he heard that the cat was already there and she got up on, you know, and was drinking out of the water. I fed the dog his dog food. He comes around right up next to her while she's drinking and he's eating his food. These two are two peas in a pod. Nice. Garfield and Odie, you know. Nice. I'm sure she wants to ship him off to Abu Dhabi and what have you.
The shipping container.
The shipping container. Right. But I'll tell you what, you know, you never know until the dog reacts to the cat.
Sure.
The cat is gonna be like, whatever, it's a dog.
Yeah,
but it's up to the dog.
Yes, you know? Yes.
Yeah. I firmly believe it's up to the dog.
Yeah, right.
When it comes to cats.
Right. Absolutely. All righty, folks. That is our show. We're all set. We'll see you if you're on Facebook Live. Join us next Monday evening at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Mondays.
We'll be here.
Thanks for joining us, folks. We will be back. In the meantime, change your thinking, change your life, laugh hard, run fast, be kind. We'll see you next time.